Hey everyone, my name is Lorena, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We're so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. And the easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97000. There you can ask questions, submit a prayer request, and even support the River Church financially. And at the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing to you in any way that we can. You can also visit our website, theriverchurch.cc, to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you are blessed by today's message.
Well, good morning. Good to see you. Good to be with you. Thanksgiving week. I know many of you got big plans and different things happening going on this week. And so thank you so much for taking the time to be with us this morning as we open God's Word together. Pastor Noble and I were talking. We have 2 weeks left in our 32-week Romans series. That's kind of crazy to think, like, wow, we have preached 32 weeks in Romans. I have never preached that long in a series, but I could probably preach 32 more weeks of it. It's so rich in theology and doctrine and biblical truth. And so hope you have been as challenged and encouraged by Romans as I have. Every time I open it and read through it, it's like, oh my goodness, that's super applicable for me and my life. And I hope to be able to always communicate to the best of my ability what the Lord, I believe, has given me, and hopefully you're able to see and understand it and apply it, and we're able to live that out in a real practical way in our lives. And so excited to kind of get close to wrapping that up today as we continue in our application of righteousness. If you're a guest new here, my name is Caleb, and I'm the pastor here, and for the next 30-ish minutes, we will open God's Word and see what He has for us. We believe the Bible is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, meaning it cuts through the darkness of this world, speaks truth. It's an ever consistent truth that we live out in our lives. And so for us as the church, the Word of God is truly, truly valuable as we try to live for it in our lives. I want to give you a quick update before we jump into Romans chapter 14. Last week, we presented the church with a end-of-the-year giving campaign, 1,000 times 100. And so we're looking for 1,000 people in our 9 locations to participate in giving above and beyond $100 to help meet a budget deficit for the end of the year. And so challenging you where we're at on that. So I told you last week, as well as our locations, we'd be giving updates in where that is. And so I think they have we've had 372 participants just in the last week and raised $64,288, which is incredible. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for participating, praying through that. And it's just great. Holly specific. We've had about 70 people have participated in helping us meet that need. And so wanted to give you an update. We'll continue to give you updates. We do want to celebrate what the Lord is doing while also going, hey, we're still looking for 1,000 people. That's not necessarily 1,000 families. I gave the number last week. We had roughly about 5,000 participants in our gatherings last week. And so 20%. And I said this, and it's always stood out. If a lot do a little won't have to do a lot. As we come together to meet the needs of the church, the local community, and see the Lord continue to bless. And so that is the continued update. And so wanted to make you aware of that. And so if you have a Bible, a device, something to follow along, read along, we'll be in Romans chapter 14. We're going to look at really the entirety of the chapter this morning. Trying to do a deep dive on 23 verses will almost be impossible, but you'll get more of a, maybe not a deep dive, but we'll give a nice overview while looking at application. Over the last few weeks, we have looked at the application of righteousness, or the application of the truths of Romans. And so Paul writes these doctrinal truths as we seek to live for the Lord and watch the Lord transform us. as living a radical life, one that is different than the world around us. As a believer, as a Christian, you need to hear that. We are called to live different than the world around us, not better. Okay, I'm not better because I live. No, I just realize my life should reflect, as Romans 12 says, be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, pleasing to God, which is my reasonable service. Meaning, I've been called to live for the Lord. And so my actions, my responses, how I love my neighbor, how I love one another in the church, how I interact with local leaders, which we did that a couple weeks ago, how we interact with people that are hard to love, right? That we interact with them in our lives. And so all as we try to seek and glorify the Lord. I shared in my Wednesday night group, this for my men is really just going, loving the Lord, our God, with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. And so applying scriptures in our life, not just being a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. And so this morning, as we look at Romans 14, we'll see Paul call the church towards unity, calling the church to be unified together, but not with the idea that, okay, we're all together because we all are similar, right? Or we're all together because we all have the same value system. We all have the same opinions, ideas. See, I believe Paul in Romans 14 calls the church to unity despite diversity. Unity despite diversity. Unity is a common theme, starting with Jesus, right? As Jesus is praying in John 17, it records, Jesus is praying in his final moments. He's praying for what? His disciples, his followers, the church that comes after him to be unified. Paul is constantly speaking towards the theme of unity and writing to the churches in the New Testament. Be unified, avoid false teachers, and be unified, solidified under the hand of God. The psalmist in 133 verse 1 writes, "Behold, how good and pleasant is it when brothers dwell in unity." And so unity is pleasing to the Lord. But we know as human beings, I'm not saying anything anyone in this room doesn't understand or know, right? It's hard to be unified with somebody you have a hard time having a conversation with. It's hard to be unified with someone you don't necessarily agree with, how they dress, what they look like, all the different things that they, really, they talk that way? Why would they talk that way? Right? You can think of the ways the body of Christ has, I will use the word you're not supposed to use in church, split over things that truly don't matter. And yet we've been called to be unified. And so Paul in Romans 14, I'm going to read the chapter, and we're going to look at some, I would say, some truths in it this morning. Verse 1, Paul says, "As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him. But not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. Let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. For God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld. For the Lord is able to make him stand." Verse 5 continues. "One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. For each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. For the one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. We're going to get to that in a few minutes. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it is unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. But what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Do not, for the sake of food, destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed unclean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The faith that you have kept, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith, for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Let's pray, and we'll talk through that this morning. God, we love you, we praise you, we honor you. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this truth. God, thank you for the book of Romans as we seek to apply the righteousness you have given us, that we have received through your son, Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice on the cross. God, this morning, we ask for wisdom. We ask for understanding. We ask for discernment. We ask for truth. God, as we ask that your Holy Spirit work in our hearts, as we're able to see and understand what you have for us. Correct us, guide us, lead us, speak to us, God. God, be with us this morning. We are so thankful for who you are. And we praise you and we love you. It's in your name we pray, the name of Jesus. Amen. It was a lot to that passage. I realize that. Some of you are like, oh my goodness, that is a lot. And it was a lot to read. And so we're going to unpack that and give us some truth out of this. But a little backdrop of this passage. I introed this now several months ago, but Paul is writing to the Christians in Rome. He's writing to this church that has been made up of a diversified people. One group is some Jewish men and women that have been grown up and learned the law all their life, and now they've received Jesus Christ as their Savior. They confess with their mouth and they believe in their heart that God is who he says he is, and he sent Jesus to die on the cross for their sins, and they confess their sins, and they are now a child of God. And so these Jews now will also follow some law rituals. And so they'll follow some of the laws that have been written in Leviticus and Exodus and some of the Old Testament laws, some traditions. And so there's this group of Jews that are observing the law. And then there's the liberated, if you will, Gentiles. These Gentiles did not grow up under the law, the teaching and the understanding of the Old Testament. They're hearing about this transformative Jesus man. And they want their lives to be transformed by the same gospel that the Jews have been changed and transformed by. But yet they don't understand many of these Old Testament practices. And so they are all put in the blender that we call the church. And now they've been called to live for the Lord. Now they've been called to be unified. And so they're having some quarrels. They're having some arguments. They're having some disagreements in the church. Now I know this church had them, and this church has no disagreements or no quarrels. Okay, all right. I say that in jest, right? That's not reality. When you put two human beings in a room, most of the time, I mean, 100% of the time, we won't agree on 100% of the things. And so we will have some differences of opinions. And so Paul is writing specifically, speaking of two specific issues. Two specific issues. One is the idea of whether they should eat meat or not. And you're thinking, okay, is it they've been called to live as a vegetarian? No, the Jewish followers of Christ are concerned that they are not eating kosher meat. You're saying, what does that mean? Kosher meat is meat that has been prepared. It's not been offered to false idols. It's been properly prepared and not mixed with other meats. And so these Jewish followers are like, hey, we're unsure where this meat came from, and so it's best for us to eat as vegetarians. And the Gentiles are like, hey, bring on the meats. I want the meat sweats. All right, that's what they're thinking, right? You're thinking of Thanksgiving already, right? But they're like, hey, bring on the rack of ribs. I'm ready for it, all right? They really are like, hey, we enjoy this. And then he speaks of the other situation of some will observe the Sabbath day. They'll value Saturday, okay? The last day of the week or the first day of the week, we're unsure. It's still an argument even to this day of like, hey, am I supposed to do something on Saturday because it's Sabbath, or am I supposed to do something on Sunday, or how does this work? And so Paul speaks directly into both of these issues and situations, which we'll talk through. But Paul is speaking to really a divisive topic or a divisive issue that is a non-essential, okay? A non-essential. That is so important for us to understand here. See, diversity doesn't mean inclusion and on all truths, okay? All right? The truth of God's word, as we lean in on essential truth, the majors of the scriptures, that doesn't say, hey, we include all belief systems. No. We believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. All right? That is so important for us to understand. We are saved by grace through faith. That is a foundational belief. We believe heaven and hell are real and eternal places. That is a truth we cling to, all right? We believe Jesus is coming back again. That is a truth. You notice I didn't say, hey, you know what? He's going to come back at this specific time in this specific status of history. No, because we don't understand that. That would be non-essential. But what the essential is Jesus is coming back, right? We believe salvation is only through Christ. That is a essential. And so don't like, okay, while Caleb is saying we're supposed to be diversified and include all beliefs, that everyone can get to heaven in their own way. Nope, that is not what I'm saying. And that's not what scripture says, okay? All right, that's not, hey, we want to live in unity. That doesn't mean we don't love them, okay? That doesn't mean we don't love people with other belief systems, but we want to love them with truth, as Ephesians says. And the truth is Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. All right? That is a foundational doctrinal truth that we must understand. But Paul is speaking to this non-essential, okay, this opinion-based thing that they'll believe. And so he's really, if we're really talking about easy thoughts, we're going, okay, well, it'd just be easier if these two The Jews would go start their own church, and the Gentiles would go start their own church. One would be the church of the vegetarians, one would be the church of the carnivores, right? Count me in on the carnivores, all right? I don't eat enough vegetables. I get it, all right? But Paul is saying, no. Don't allow your personalities, or don't allow, like, well, I want to go, no. Be unified under the essentials and be okay with, hey, there's some differences of opinions on some things. Some diversity. I read this week. Thought it was so good. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, love. As we've been called to love. And so we looked at these two controversial ideas. In the first six verses, Paul references them. He says, as for the one who is weak. And so what is he doing here? He's categorizing people as weak and strong. And so we as the men talked about this on Wednesday night last week, and looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 11 and 12, as we studied that, hey, you know what? Some may be weak and unable to participate in the freedom God has given them, while others may feel strong that they can lean into some of that freedom. And we're going to talk about that freedom in just a few minutes. But as we seek to understand, we are not under the Old Testament law anymore. The law has been completed, fulfilled, right? As we see, Jesus came as the completion, the fulfillment of the law. And so if you look at Old Testament scriptures, there's some great truths of the law of, like, hey, you know what? The meat will be unclean. Some health ideas of this. And so the Jews were told to stay away from non-kosher meats. Now, for you and I, does that mean we can't go to Red Lobster later today? No, we are not under that. All right? And so we can eat shrimp. Now, are there health benefits to not eating some of those things? Yes and no, right? And so, depending on what website you clicked on today, right? Right? And so there's opinions on, okay, should I eat this? Should I not eat this? And so Paul is going, hey, don't get lost in the weeds. All right? And so let's focus on the main doctrinal truths and not divide over the diversity of opinions or practices or ideas. But we have been given the opportunity of freedom, especially in these two specific areas, okay? He's talking about what you're eating, all right? And then not making a day more holy than another, all right? Well, you're like, man, I grew up and we made Sunday a special day. That's fantastic. And we're going to get to personal conviction in a little bit, all right? But as followers of Christ, we've been given freedom. Jesus speaks to this in Mark chapter 7. Said, there is nothing outside a person that by going into him can defile him. Romans 14:14. I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus, this is Paul now, that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it's unclean. And so now he's speaking into personal conviction, but we've been given freedom. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul speaking to the church of Corinth on a similar discussed and argued over topic. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. I think the King James says profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. That's an important passage. Our focus on building others. Our focus is on others as we live out our lives. And so we've been given freedom, okay? We have freedom. And so we look at, okay, can I eat this meat or can I not eat this meat? Now you have the freedom to eat the meat, or you have the day for celebration of days of what's happening, what's going on. And so you look and go, what are those applications in our church? And so I was texting with a couple buddies this week. It was interesting. So they can go, okay, eating. All right, we're still talking about eating, right? You know, gluttony, overeating is still a sin, by the way. We don't talk about that one too much, right? Still a sin. Gluttony is a sin. But participating in eating of food or seafood or certain things. Drinking of alcohol. The Bible does not say it's a sin to drink. Drunkenness is a sin, but you can partake in alcohol. Dancing. Some of you guys, you grew up as Baptists and your mind is currently being blown, right? Like, oh my gosh, Pastor, like I have to pray for you right now, right? I did too, don't worry, right? But you look and go, okay, let's talk about scripture. Not personal conviction or preference. We're going to get there, right? You're like, wow, Pastor said I can drink and dance. Oh my goodness. It's all, no, we're like, relax. Right, we're going to get to some of this, all right? We talked about this on Wednesday. I didn't come out of my Wednesday night men's group as a very popular, all right? I understand. But the idea of tattoos, you're like, man, I don't want a tattoo. I don't care. Like, we're looking at some of these freedoms. There's even like makeup, dress, hair length, Bible translations. Oh my goodness. There's some good ones and there's some ones that I don't prefer to use. Music. Some of you are like, man, card playing, right? Euchre is not a sin, all right? Feel free to play, all right? Now, if you get angry and curse afterwards, that's your fault. No, it's good, right? Even like serving in the military, right? There's denominations that are like, hey, you know, we're a pacifist. So we look at some of these convictions that you have the freedom to participate in. And we as believers are given the freedom, right? As Jesus specifically says, as Paul, through inspired by the Holy Spirit, is communicating to the church in Rome, the church in Corinth, and even to other churches, that we are lawful to participate in. And so hopefully for some of you, today may be a step out of legalism that has been ingrained into your life for 30, 40, 50, you fill in the blank years. Others, man, this is the first church you've ever gone to and you've been here for weeks. You're like, oh my goodness, these are great truths. And we all come together in the blender of going, how can we honor and glorify the Lord with the best of our ability? Because that is the goal, as we love the Lord our God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. But each of us has personal conviction. All right, personal conviction. And this is an important truth that we're going to talk about just for a few minutes this morning. Personal conviction. Verse 5, each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Having personal conviction. Now, this is extra biblical conviction. This is non-essential conviction. All right? And so you're like, okay, what does that mean? You may, and it's you may abstain from eating seafood by personal conviction. Or you may abstain from drinking alcohol from a personal conviction. All right? Here's what I'm going to tell you. That's not a bad thing. This is not a bad thing. And we're going to explain what that truly looks like. See, being convinced in your own mind, that personal extra biblical conviction. I had a conversation with some friends of mine a few months ago, and I began to try to unpack what are some personal extra biblical convictions that I have, and asking myself, hey, what do you think? What are some things that maybe you have? And so some of us, it was some of how you were raised, or some of it was a parent passed down, or maybe something that, hey, you know what? I've had drunkenness, or I've had alcoholism passed down in my family, and so I've had to remove myself. I can't put myself around alcohol because I'm susceptible to that. And so I have a personal conviction to that. Here's what I'm going to tell you. You know, the Bible says you must follow that personal conviction. It says when you don't follow it, it's a sin. Verse 23, but whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats. Meaning, well, you know what? I'm around everyone that's eating these meats, or I'm doing this, or playing cards, or filling in, or dancing, or you fill in the blank of what that extra biblical non-essential belief is, and I participate. You're actually sinning. You're actually sinning because you are going against that personal conviction. You're not living out the personal conviction God has placed in your heart that you have established. That's by being convinced in your own mind. And so having that truth, having that understanding, having that practice, having that life, I'm going to live that out to the best of my ability. And so not experiencing peer pressure. And peer pressure is not just for teenagers, by the way. It's crazy. Peer pressure is for adults. We all experience that. Well, everyone else is doing this. It'd be easier if I just gave up personal conviction and practiced this rather than holding personal conviction. See verse 23 of chapter 14, but whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith, for whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. It's a practice that being convinced, following those personal convictions. If the Lord convicts you that something is wrong in your life, you'd better not do it, even if other Christians are doing it. All right? Personal conviction, living that out. And that's important for us to really think through and understand of like, no, this is my conviction. This is what I believe the Lord has called me to live out in my life, and I'm going to practice this. Regardless of, wow, another follower of the Lord is loving the Lord, they're honoring him, and they're practicing, that's okay. Doesn't make me better or worse. And that slides into the term I referenced, legalism. Legalism. Some of you have grown up in church your entire life and you've experienced the pains of legalism, right? You're better or worse because you do this or you don't do these non-essentials. The sad reality is legalism has been used as a weapon over church history. Like we tear out believers. Well, you know what? I'm better because I don't do this, and you're worse because you do this. Well, the truth of the matter is we are all broken people that need the grace of God in our life, and I'm thankful that he died for the world, and I'm thankful that I've experienced the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ in my life. That is a base root in understanding. There is no better or worse in this room today, okay? We only worship a name above all names, and that name is Jesus. That's a foundational truth. But the idea of legalism. And so at a grassroots base understanding of what legalism, here it is. You ready? It's pushing your non-essential or extra biblical truth on someone else. So I think at a base root, maybe somebody had a good conviction. All right, I'm going to abstain from participating in this. I have the freedom to eat this. I have the freedom to drink this. I have the freedom to go here. I have the freedom to exercise this. But I have this personal conviction. And so if I had this personal conviction, I'm supposed to live it out. But when it becomes legalism, if I say, hey, you know what? As your pastor, I have this conviction. Now you must do this. And for many of you, you've experienced the pain of that in your life. Maybe with kids or grandkids, and they have rebelled against legalism because that pushing on of a conviction that was based out of not a bad thing, but it became a extra biblical standard that has hurt people. And Paul in Romans 14 pushes this idea of legalism. He says, why do you pass judgment on your brother? What's he saying? They ate this meat. Why are you saying you're better? Or they chose not to eat the meat. Why are you flaunting your freedom in their face? He continues, or why do you despise your brother? They become hatred or bitterness. How could you do that? Right? You've heard that in church before. For we all stand before the judgment seat of God. You'll answer to God for your convictions. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put, this is really good. I hope to be able to preach this. Put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. There's a mindset shift and mindset change. I use that, the idea of flaunting our freedom. Well, you know what? I'm flaunting my freedom. I can or we can participate in eating this meat or participating in this non-essential or drinking alcohol, but coming to a place of understanding of not flaunting that to cause a stumbling block or a hindrance. Those two phrases or two words are really important because they're different. One, the stumbling block is leaving something carelessly behind and someone, a brother specific, stumbles over it. You say, what could that be? Well, you have the freedom to drink alcohol. But if you have a friend, a brother, a relative that is an alcoholic, you better be very careful. You better be very careful because you can cause them to stumble and then you will be held responsible. Well, I have the freedom. You said it. Yeah, you have the freedom, but you better be careful. You're not causing them to stumble. I have the freedom to participate in this activity. Guess what? You better be aware of who you're causing to stumble carelessly. I love that phrase because it really encapsulates. I flaunt it. I don't care what's left behind. No. Truly being a member of the body of Christ is caring for the body of Christ and going, hey, I know there's others that struggle or stumble. I can't flaunt my freedom in front of them because I'll cause them to stumble in sin and then I'll answer to God for my flaunting of freedom. And I care and I love them so much, I wouldn't want them to stumble over that. So that carelessly, like, well, you know what? It's no big deal. Well, I'll tell you this, it could be a big deal for them. And so being others focused, I wrote in my notes, I'm stronger. I'm okay. I'm more spiritual. When you start saying I'm, you're pretty messed up, right? Or how about this? We're messed up. Right? No. What is best for the body? What is best for others? And so thinking through those freedoms, I'll say this, as a parent, you have kids, thinking through the freedoms that God has given you because you know what you do, what you practice will be passed on, whether you like that or don't like that, right? It'll be replicated. And so thinking through, you have young kids knowing, hey, what do I want to have available in the house or what do we want to practice or where do we go? Because I know I don't want to be a stumbling block for my kids or your grandparent. Don't be a stumbling block for your grandchildren. Thinking through that of what you participate in, these non-essential things. But then he uses not just stumbling block, and this is what really, I'd like to be able to preach. He says, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance. See, the stumbling block is carelessly leaving something behind. A hindrance is deliberately leaving something behind. And so the way that I describe that is a legalistic rule that you are on purpose putting on someone's shoulders a weight that they're unable to live out. I have a friend, she works on staff. She grew up in a very legalistic world. And so grew up at a Baptist church. She loves the Lord, which I'm thankful for. And so we laugh about this now, but I guarantee it's some laugh and some pain in her. But growing up, she would go to snow camp with her church. And so she'd go to snow camp, and so they were instructed to wear snow pants. But in their world, the women were not allowed to wear pants, all right? And so they would put snow pants on, and then they would put culottes or a skirt over top of their snow pants. This is real, right? And so she still feels that pain to this day. Really, and she laughs about it, but some of it's like, oh. And some of you grew up in that world. You're like, oh my goodness, this was a hindrance for my life. It was a weight put on my shoulders that I was unable to live out or practice in my life. And so it created a bitterness. Some of you have siblings or relatives because of the weight put on their shoulders by extra biblical or non-essential truths that have crushed them and they've walked away from the church or they walked away from the Lord. That's what this hindrance is describing. That you are intentionally going, hey, here's this weight, here's this conviction, you carry it. And the truth of the matter is, your conviction may crush someone else. It may crush someone else, whether that's intentional or carelessly. And so we must understand, these convictions aren't a bad thing. You may have a conviction that you don't participate in. One, live that out because the Lord has maybe put that on your life. Two, don't project it on someone else. And so thinking through that practical understanding. And so we must focus on being, on not being a stumbling block or hindrance. Now, how do we do that? How do we do that? Because verse 15 of the chapter says, if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love by what you eat. Do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. Verse 19 through 21. So let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Everything is deed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat or eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. What is the heartbeat here? It is exactly what I opened the message with. Loving the Lord, my God, with all my heart, soul, mind, and my strength, and focusing on loving my brother and my neighbor and making sure that I'm not causing them to stumble. It's being others focused. See, when we flaunt our freedom, well, Caleb, you said, all things are lawful. I can do whatever. I can eat. I can drink. I can do all these things. You can. You can. But you better be sure you are not causing someone else to stumble. You're like, how do I do that? Well, that's wisdom and discernment, being aware of other brothers and sisters that you're around and caring for them. So others focused. And I'll say this, it's better to lay down that freedom than inadvertently cause someone to stumble. See, pursuing, says in that passage, the mutual upbuilding, building one another up. See, it is our Christian duty when exercising our freedom not to think about how our actions affect us, not only affect us, but affect others. We're to remember that it's not to just flaunt or display our Christian freedom, but live out a love that is genuine that we preached through just a few weeks ago, a genuine, true love for one another. See, 1 Corinthians 10 gives us a good summary statement. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. I'm gonna say that again because it's a great summary statement. Do all for the glory. Whether I eat or drink, whatever I do, I think that encapsulates everything, right? Whatever I do all for the glory of God. And that is loving the Lord, my God, with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving my neighbor as myself. Others focused. See, having unity in diversity is hard, right? I'm not saying anything that's like, oh, it's all, somebody practices different. They talk differently. They value different things than I do, non-essential biblical things. And man, it's. Why don't you go find some people that you can hang out with, right? I actually feel like our world is terrible with this now. Well, somebody believes or a different thing. I mean, like, hey, I don't want to be around them because they bother me, right? Or it's even more. I'm going to convince them of my conviction, and I'm going to win them to my side. You do that. I do that too, right? But the cool thing about the way God has placed the church is in diversity. people of all ages, different walks of life, some opinions on some gray area things in the Bible. But it is a sweet thing to the Lord when we lay some of these things down and come together in unity and going, you know what? I'm going to be at peace with my brothers and sisters, knowing that it glorifies the Lord. That's what God has called us to as a church. That is what God has called us, not just as the church at the river, but churches around the world, the global church, the Big C church. Once a month, I get together with a group of local pastors. And so I was invited into this group, man, a little bit over a year ago. And so a friend of mine said, hey, I'm going to get a group of local pastors together. We're going to pray for one another. We're going to hopefully sharpen one another. And so we're going to get together, eat breakfast once a month. And so I said, all right, I'm in. Because I think that is truly valuable. And so each month, I get together with Pastor Ryan from Grace Chapel in Waterford, Pastor Benjamin at Oakland Woods Baptist Church in Clarkston, Pastor Phil at First Baptist of Holly, Pastor Ben of Springview Community Church in Davisburg, and Pastor Ted at Oakwood Community Church in Brandon. And so I get together with these pastors. Here's what I want you to hear from me. These men love the Lord. They are faithful to the gospel. I love each of these guys. I've grown to love their commitment to the word. I've grown to love their commitment to the serving of the Lord. And I know one thing. They are brothers in arms for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I say this to you? We don't agree on everything. There's some things we disagree on. There's some non-essential things that, you know what? That are okay. It was funny. One of them says, Caleb, we view you as the hip pastor. I don't know what that means. But I'm not hip. I got nice shoes, but that's it. I felt encouraged by that until I told my kids and they laughed in my face. All right. But I share that with you because I love these dudes. I really do. I have grown very fond of their ministries. I've grown fond of their faithfulness to the gospel, the hardships that they go through. And I begin to think about, wow, different churches, different sizes, some different beliefs on some non-essential some convictions. But they love the Lord. They're faithful to the gospel. They want to see this area, this county, this state, this country, this world transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's our focus and should be the focus of the church. So I'm not saying, hey, you know what? We want to be unified and disregard some convictions for inclusion. No, that's not what I'm saying. Please don't hear me say that this morning. That's not who I am. Don't walk out of here thinking there is some foundational truths that we will hold a line for. But also think through this. There are some non-essential things that truly in the grand scheme of things. Well, you know what? This person's wearing jeans. This person's wearing a suit. This person's sitting in pews. This person's playing a guitar on stage. This person doesn't have a guitar on stage. This person has drums, or this person eats this or doesn't eat this. You know what? The reality of those things in the grand scheme of the world, those don't matter. How can I build up my brothers and sisters? And how can I be a part of the work of the Lord? That's what Romans 14 says. I don't want to be a hindrance or a stumbling block. See, the sad reality of the church in 2025, it's easier to say, look as I look, always do as I do, then and only then I'll fellowship with you. And shame on the church today. And I'm preaching at myself. I'm thinking, wow, how can we lock arm in arms with brothers and sisters, not just in this community, but in communities around for the advancement of the gospel. That is the call we've been called to carry out and live out. This morning, as a close, unity despite diversity. It's work. It's tiring. And you have to give up some freedoms. I lay this down for the building up of the body. Can I pray for you this morning? God, we love you. We praise you. We honor you. We glorify you. God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. God, this morning as we seek to apply Romans 14, as we seek to live that out in a real practical manner, God, forgive us. Forgive us when we project our convictions on someone else, or forgive us when we flaunt our freedoms. God, I'm thinking of interactions that I've had, and I need to ask for forgiveness right now. God, this morning, as we apply the very righteousness of God that you've given us, help us to be unified under the mighty hand of God, laying down some freedoms when we have to lay them down, but also being cognizant of those around us to not be a stumbling block or a hindrance, ultimately for the building up of your body, the building up of others, with a focus not on self, but a focus on glorifying you. God, we praise you this morning. We have so much to be thankful for, so much to give you glory for. God, help us to keep the main thing the main thing, stay unified on your truth. God, we praise you. We love you. Thank you for your word this morning. It is truly, truly transforming us. We praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.